What is sin? Sin is simply missing the mark. It is wrongdoing. It is transgressing the righteousness of God. Sin is transgressing the righteousness of God, not the righteousness of men. It is transgressing the righteousness of God, the holiness of God. So in short, sin is transgression. Sin is an intricate web and an unending trail of deception. It is intricate. That means it is twisted. It is complex in its evil. All to deceive. To deceive. And we know why sin deceives. It deceives to destroy. Now, here's the thing. All sin is deception. All sin is deception without exception. Right? All sin is what, church? That means sin promises what it can never fulfill. I spoke last Friday about pie in the sky, about a pipe dream, being promised a pie in the sky, being promised something that does not exist, being promised something that you can never attain, being promised something that is not there. That's what sin does. All of sin is deception. Sin promises what it can never fulfill, right? You'll be shocked how much people are under the control of sin, how much people are led by sin. But at least we that are in Christ, we've been set free from the grip of sin. But the world over lies under the sway, under the control of the wicked one. It lies under the power of Satan. That means the whole world, except for those that are in Christ Jesus, are controlled by sin. Now imagine all of the world, apart from the Church of Jesus Christ, being controlled by deception. There's nothing. There's nothing they are pursuing. They are pursuing something that they can never attain. Why can they not attain it? Because it does not exist. Why can they not attain it? Because it is not there. It is not there. Sin is an illusion. It is a smoke screen. Sin is an illusion. It's a deception. It is a lie. It is a smoke screen. Sin is a false thrill that culminates in nothing. It's a false thrill. You know, when something is put before you and you long for it and you desire it and you want to go for it and you pursue it with everything that you have, but it culminates into nothingness. You realize it was all vanity of vanities. Sin is a damp squib. It's an anticlimax. Sin is one colossal disappointment. What is sin? One giant disappointment. Every time when we are tempted to sin, at the end of it is one giant disappointment. It is an anticlimax. You put everything, you put effort, you devise means. Right? And the Bible says we must not devise means to sin. But if we do that and we realize instead of attaining what we're hoping to attain, we realize it's an anticlimax. We realize there is nothing there. And we come back with one giant disappointment. Friends, sin is a big lie. Sin is one big lie. Sin is a fool's paradise. That's what it is. John chapter 8 and verse number 44. Now, John 8, 44 says, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. It does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him." No truth in him, there is lie in him. Now, when he speaks a lie, sin is a lie, the devil lies. The devil lies naturally. Satan lies naturally. He lies out of his own resources, the Bible says. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he's a liar and the father of it. He's the one who invented a lie. So sin is one big lie from one big devil. Sin is one big lie from one big devil. He invented a lie. He's a father of it. He is a liar. When he speaks, he lies, and he speaks from his own resources. He lies naturally. He lies naturally. All right? Sin is one big lie, church. Satan, he lies, he deceives, he tempts, Christians. Satan, he lies, he deceives, he tempts us believers. Remember, he's a liar. The devil brings out the worst in people. He brings out the worst. If we allow him, he brings out the worst in us. I think some of us, we've been to a place when we've done things that we shocked even ourselves. We said, my goodness, what have I just done? I never thought I was capable of something like this. I never thought I could do this. The devil brings out the worst out of people. He lies, he deceives, he tempts. He brings out the worst. You know, when you know yourself and like, my goodness, I never thought I was capable of doing this. And you will never believe because you just can't. This is unbelievable. Never thought I was capable of doing this. All that sin does is entice, deceive, and destroy. Please let's understand that. All that sin does is entice, deceive, and eventually destroy. That's what sin does. Sin can offer nothing besides. There is nothing else that sin offers except enticement, deception, and destruction. There is nothing else that sin offers. Sin is enticing. It is desirable. It's enticing and desirable. But this, what causes you to desire, that is something you can never attain. The high you want to attain, you will never attain it. You'll notice that it's a one big anticlimax. And you'll be thoroughly disappointed at the end of the day. That's how it is. Because the devil is a liar. There's nothing good he can offer. There's nothing good he can give. Hallelujah. Satan gives with one hand, he takes away with the other hand. That's how it is. And by the way, when he takes away, it doesn't just take away what he gave you, it takes even what he didn't give you. That's how the devil is. He's a liar. When he speaks, when he lies, it is out of his own resources. He does it naturally. Why? He's the founder of it. Friends, nothing good can come out of sin. Please, you know, sin is desirable. Sin is enticing. But here's the thing. Let us know this. Let us know this definitively. Let us know this. Nothing good can come out. Nothing good ever comes out of sin. Some of us, God's children, we've been enticed and we have fallen. We have since realized that absolutely nothing good comes out of sin. We have realized that by now. There is no child of God who has ever been tripped by sin and fallen into sin who has not realized that absolutely nothing good comes out of sin. No one can sin, not even no one. No child of God can sin and come out of the experience and say, I feel great. And say, I feel good. And say, I feel like I'm on top of the world. There's no child of God like that. There's no child of God, church. Because nothing good comes out of sin. Sin does not fulfill. Sin does not satisfy. Sin demands more. And the more it demands, the more it destroys. No one has been tempted into sin and fallen into sin. They've ever found fulfillment in it. They've ever found satisfaction in it. They don't. Because what sin promises, it does not exist. What sin promises, it is not there. Sin is but an illusion. Sin is a smokescreen. There is something there that is hidden, which is contrary to what you've been promised. Sin can never fulfill. It does not fulfill. It doesn't have it. It's not in sin to fulfill. Sin can never satisfy, church. It keeps demanding more. The more you give, it keeps demanding. You keep on wanting more and more and more. And the more you do, the more and more. The more you are destroyed, the more you destroy yourself. Sin grows. You start with a quarter inch to the half inch to the 1.5 to the 2 inches to the. By the time you realize you'll be 6 feet under. That's the nature of sin. Ephesians 4 and 22. The New King James and the Easy. It says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt. Underline that word corrupt. The old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Can you see that? Sin corrupts. It says the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, sin corrupts and leads to more corruption. That's what it does. Sin corrupts and corrupts thoroughly. Sin corrupts a child of God. Sin corrupts a believer. Sin corrupts the holy person, the righteous person, the saint, the set apart one, the consecrated one. Sin corrupts. That's what sin does. Sin corrupts and it corrupts thoroughly. The Easy Version says, they taught you to change the way that you live. You must put away the nature that you had before. That old nature deceived you. As a result, you wanted to do things that would destroy you. You wanted to do things that would destroy you. Sin corrupts and destroys. That's what it does. I want to do wrong. I am tempted to do wrong. I am drawn to do wrong. And I go after the wrong. What am I doing? I am corrupting and destroying myself. In other words, sin is self-destruction. Sin is self-mutilation. Sin is spiritual suicide. When I sin, I commit spiritual suicide. Sin is self-destructive. Sin can't offer you anything except for corruption. Sin can't offer you anything except for destruction. That's how it is. It's after you have succumbed to sin that you realize that you have come into a dark, empty hole without end. Anyone who has fallen into sin, they've since realized that they fall into a dark and empty hole without end. Sin offers darkness and emptiness, no fulfillment, no satisfaction. After a child of God has fallen into sin, they realize they have fallen into a very dark and very empty hole without end. It's darkness without end. It's emptiness without end. Every believer, every child of God, after that we have fallen into sin, we feel extremely empty. Only God fills a believer. Christ in me, the hope of glory. A child of God is filled by Christ and Christ alone and by nothing else. I say a child of God is filled by Christ. Christ is the one who fills all in all. Hallelujah. Sin is a place, sin is a state of endless darkness, of endless emptiness. Sin is a road to nowhere. Sin is a cul-de-sac, it's a road to nowhere. But to destruction and death eventually. Sin is a road to nowhere. When we desire to sin, when we want to sin, when we fall into sin, we are really, utterly going absolutely nowhere. But we begin to corrupt and destroy ourselves. That's what sin does. Sin is there to corrupt and to destroy. It's there to corrupt and to destroy and to eventually lead to death. Talking about loss. Sin results in losses. We lose dignity. We lose honor. We lose things. We lose respect. We lose money. We lose friends. We lose relationships. We lose marriages. We lose businesses, we lose income, we lose profit. That's what sin offers and cannot offer anything besides that. We lose peace of mind. That's why we're having a symposium this coming Saturday, talking about mental health. Because of sin, we lose peace of mind. You feel you are running very mad. feel running very mad, you want to run and stand at the edge of a very long and high cliff and throw yourself over. That's how sin is like. That was the eventuality of Judas Iscariot, or was it not? I said that was the eventuality. The man ran and killed himself. That's what sin does. That's what sin does. He started to steal a little. And after the little, he stole a bit more little. And after that little, he stole three times more little. Even though the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching, was addressing, he was not listening. A lot of teachings that the Lord was giving, they were directed to Judas Iscariot, but he would not listen. He would not listen. When someone has been taken over by sin, when someone has been gripped over by sin, when someone is under the control of sin, they will not listen to sound words. They will not listen to sound wisdom. What did he do? Committed suicide, literally. Not just spiritual, but literally. Because sin can't offer you anything else except for corruption, except for destruction, except for death eventually. Sin is something that we Christians, that we believers, we must avoid like a plague, like a bubonic plague. We must really avoid it. We must really avoid it. When we see losses around ourselves, this is what we're talking about on Friday. When we see losses around ourselves, when we see there's no breakthrough in our lives, when we see things are not advancing, things are not progressing in our lives, what could be the reason? It could be because of what we're really talking about today. When blessing and breakthroughs were flowing easily, suddenly now they are blocked. They can't move anymore. They can't come anymore. See? That's what sin does. Sin is an abomination. There is no child of God who can boast. There's no boasting in sin. There's no child of God who can be proud after committing sin. There's no child of God who can boast about this. It's an abomination. It's an abomination. No one can boast. A child of God cannot go to a friend and say and start to talk about how they enjoyed sin, how they enjoyed the wrongdoing. No child of God is like that. Say, oh, I did it. I did. You have no idea. You should have been there to see me. You don't know. You don't know. You don't even want me to start. You don't know. See? Sin is an abomination. If you do that, you are probably not born again. If you do that, you've probably fallen so low that really right now you are in need of redemption. Sin is an abomination. People don't pride themselves in abomination. People don't boast about abomination. Sin is a reproach. It is a disgrace. Sin is a dishonor. That's what sin offers. Some of us, we lose our respect. You lose respect as a child of God if you fall in sin. Lose respect, lose honor, lose dignity. Sin is an abomination, a reproach, a disgrace, dishonor. Like a shrewd and cunning salesman, sin sells and causes you to buy what you don't need. I say like a shrewd, cunning salesman. Sin sells and causes you to buy what you don't need. Sin creates a need in you that you never had. A shrewd and cunning salesman will sell you something you don't need, but they will create a need in you. Suddenly you need it. You see that you need it, but you don't actually need it. Before this person came, we didn't need it. As they say, you can sell ice to an Eskimo. You can sell eyes to an Eskimo. You can sell African hair to an African. Africans, they don't want the African hair. But if you are shrewd and cunning, you can literally sell this African hair to an African. That's how sin is. You don't need what you think you need. You don't need what you are enticed. What is enticing? What you're now beginning to desire? You don't need it. You don't need it at all. It's just sin being sin. It's just sin doing what sin does. It's just the devil being the devil. Just the devil doing what the devil does. Hallelujah. David was okay. David was really fine. He was happy in his marriage until he saw a woman bathing. He was fine. He really was. But sin said, you need this. But he didn't need it. David did not need Bathsheba. That's a thing. All right? Now, suddenly, he was not satisfied with what he had because he saw. Because he saw. The man was fine. The man was happy. That's how it is with us Christians. That's how it is with all of us. We are really fine. We are happy. We are content. We are satisfied until temptation comes. Then you begin to think that you need. There's a false need that is created. There's a false need that is created. You leave in the morning, you embrace, you hug, you kiss your person goodbye. But before you know it, around 12 o'clock, the devil comes knocking at your door. And you begin to need what you don't need. You begin to need what you don't have a need for in the first place. But this shrewd and cunning salesman called sin will tell you need this one. But and you pay attention and say, you need this one. And you continue paying attention, eventually you agree with him. Eventually you see a need that wasn't there, that never existed. Now you begin to see what you have as inadequate. Now you begin to see what you, the same thing that in the morning you are appreciating, the same thing in the morning that you are thanking God for, the same thing in the morning you are saying to the Lord, Father, I thank you so much. I don't know where I would be today. I don't know how my life would be without this. Now suddenly you begin to see that very thing that was more than enough for you as inadequate. That's how sin operates. That's how sin operates. Like a shrewd and cunning salesman. You begin to see what you have as inadequate. The same thing that was satisfying you all along, it doesn't satisfy you anymore. I say the same thing that was giving you fulfillment all along, it doesn't give you fulfillment anymore. Please do remember, sin is an illusion. Please do remember, sin is a smoke screen. Please do remember, sin cannot satisfy, sin cannot fulfill. Please do remember, sin promises a pie in the sky, it promises a pipe dream. It can never give you what it promises. It's just lies, deception, it's just temptation. That's what it's all about. It creates a desire that never existed. And the desire begins to be so real that you want to fulfill it at any cost. At any cost. But it wasn't there before sin came. It wasn't there. Now you want to fulfill it at any cost. Like a deceptive advertising, sin appeals to the subconscious and causes you to want something you didn't need. You know deceptive advertising? You are watching television and they are cooking you nice dinner and it's smelling so wonderfully. While you're watching that wonderful sport on television, during the break, they advertise that burger that you didn't want. And after they've advertised that burger, you notice now you begin to want it, you begin to want it. But they're preparing very nice dinner and it's smelling, the flavor, it's so wonderful. But suddenly you don't feel that, you don't want that, you don't desire that. Suddenly, as soon as you're done watching sport, you get into your car, you go to buy, or you take your phone and you begin to order. You see, that's deceptive advertising. It works in the subconscious. It causes you to want something you didn't need. That's how sin operates. Didn't need it. I didn't need this. I was okay with 300 rand. I did not need 1,000 rand. See that? Now you notice that you got the 1,000 rand, you went down a hole. Deep, dark, empty, miserable hole. And then the demons, they stand aloof and they begin to laugh. They've done the assignment, they've done their job. They've done what they've been commissioned to do. Friends, this is why we must be careful of what we hear and how we hear it. This is why we must be careful of what we see and how we see it. I say, this is why we must be careful of what we hear and how we hear it. We must be careful of what we see and how we see it. It's called the ear gate and the eye gate. Sin operates through the ear gate and the eye gate. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the ear gate and the eye gate. We must be careful of what we hear and how we hear it. We must be careful of what we see and how we see it. Genesis 3, 4 and 6. Then the serpent said to the woman, underline, the serpent said, he spoke and the woman listened, the ear gate. Then the serpent said to the woman, and notice Eve was fine in the garden. She was satisfied in the garden. She had everything she needed in the garden. Because the Bible says, the Lord, he shall fulfill our needs. It's the Lord who meets all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So we don't need anything in God because he is our every need. Eve was happy. Eve was happy. Eve was living a honeymoon in the Garden of Eden. Eve was happy. Eve was living a soft life in the Garden of Eden. The serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Notice verse number 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. Please understand, the tree was always there. The tree was there every day. The tree was always there. Eve was seeing the tree. She never desired it. She never lusted after it. But she opened her ear gate and her eye gate. That's why you notice the person you've been with all this time, maybe for a year, for two, for three, suddenly when sin hits, when the devil hits, when temptation hits, now suddenly you begin to see them differently. And what's going on here? The person has always been here, and I've never seen them this way. It's called temptation. What is it called? The devil came to tempt Eve. The devil came to tempt Eve, and Eve sinned. And also she led her man to sin with her. Job 31 and verse 1 in the NIV. Job says, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a woman. I made a covenant with my eyes not to lust, to look lustfully after a woman, whether young or middle-aged, it does not matter. A woman is a woman. I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a woman. Firstly, Job, he understood how sin operates through the eye gate. He understood that sin enters through these two eyes. Sin operates through the eye gate. How many of us would lust after people we don't see? And also not hearing the voice, because sometimes the voice can be having chemicals that titillates you. You know the voice, even if you don't see the person, but the voice can be having chemicals, you know, that just, they just titivate you. Just, now you notice without the eye gate and the ear gate, it wouldn't be led to sin. He understood how sin operates through the eye gate. That is the lust of the eye. Secondly, Job was being aggressive with sin. This is a man who was being aggressive. We two friends, we must deal aggressively with sin. He was just being aggressive. He was not being religious. He was not being sanctimonious. He was being aggressive. Why? Because he understood that sin is aggressive and ruthless. We are treating sin with kids' gloves. Honestly, we are treating sin with kids' gloves. We are handling sin. We are dealing with sin. This monster, this animal that is so aggressive, that is so ruthless. And when we do that, it shows that we are people without understanding. A person with understanding, in the name of Job, understood that sin is ruthless and aggressive. So he was dealing with sin aggressively. I made a covenant with my eyes. That was himself, his relationship with God. But he was taking this thing seriously. You know that the strength of the devil is for us not to take his things seriously. The strength of Satan, the strength. That's where his strength, that the power of Satan, the power. That's why it's called deception, so that you don't see the danger in it. That's why it's a smoke screen. You don't see the danger that lurks on the other side, because all you see is foggy. All you see is a smoke, but you can't see what lies behind the fog. You don't see what lies behind the smoke. The smoke screen. His strength is in us not taking his things seriously. Hallelujah. Psalms 51, 10 to 13. Create in me a clean heart, O God. David understood that God is able to cleanse from all sin. This is the reason why he said, create in me a clean heart, O God. And we know that this is a man who had fallen very hard in sin. He fell hard into sin, but God did not reject him. God does not reject his people because they've fallen into sin. Let's understand that. Let me put it this way. God does not judge, before we come to rejection, God does not judge his people who have fallen into sin. He did not send Christ to come and judge the world. Now, if he did not send Christ to come and judge the world, how much more about us who are his children? How could he judge us? But he has made ways of escape. Create in me a clean heart, O God. God is able to cleanse from all sin. And he continues to say, and renew a steadfast spirit within me, a consistent spirit, the grace to stand and not to fall. Renew a steadfast spirit. Renew a consistency. Lord, let there be a consistency in my spirit, that when I stand, I will not fall. I will not keep on falling and standing and falling and standing. Please, O Lord. Now he knew God was able to do that. He cried out to the Lord. Say, Lord, I don't want to be falling from time to time. I don't want to be falling. Create in me a steadfast spirit, a consistency within me, that I will be able to stand and not to fall. Do not cast me away from your presence. Cordaliama zite, bramblas delegarde, liengo jondo brola zila mande. Keler de stolo mahanda lahite, mangando zolobro jolo mikasaya, o ramaliga stombro ulakasa. Oh my God, I see heavens are open. Mela girdo stolumande graste, heavens are open. Lia broshta lahande. God says, no matter what you've done, I kid you not, church, heavens are open. Heavens are open. Heavens are open. Heavens are open. God says, I know your weakness. God says, I know your shortcoming. God says, I know your struggles. He says, I know your areas of struggles. But my son, but my daughter, I've never closed the heavens over you. The heavens are open. They've always been open. But the deceiver, the liar, has deceived you, has lied to you that I have closed the heavens on you. I have never closed heavens on you, and I will never close them. I will never close them. Whew. So don't go condemning yourself. So don't go destroying yourself. Don't go destroying yourself. Don't go condemning yourself. You know, sometimes we are thrown into such a place of rejection that we throw ourselves fully into sin. God says, don't go do that. I've never turned my back on you. Don't go do that. I've never closed my heaven on you. Never. Don't go do that. Don't go do that. I love you. I said I will never leave you nor forsake you. I love you. I said to you, what can separate you from my love? Nothing. Is it death? Is it an angel? Is it nakedness? Is it peril? Nothing. 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 Not even sin. Not even Satan. Not even demons. Not even hell can separate us. Don't go destroy yourself. Remain steadfast. Hallelujah. Do not cast me away from your presence. And do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. Now, sin's ultimate goal is to separate us from God. And David knew that. That's how he prays this way. Sin's ultimate goal is to separate us from God and all his goodness and all his promises and all his blessings. Please, let's understand that. That's the ultimate goal. That's the ultimate goal. But verse number 12, it says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Underline that word restore, please. Underline that word restore. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. God restores us from sin and is able to keep us from falling. Restore to me. Restore. God restores us from sin. But not only that, uphold me. Uphold me. Uphold me by your generous spirit. God is able to keep us from falling. He restores us. And he keeps us from falling. That's what David was saying. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me. Listen, uphold me by your generous spirit. He's a generous Holy Spirit. That's what he is here for. He's here to help us. He's here to restore us. He is here to keep us from falling. That's why he is here. The Father and the Son are in heaven. Holy Spirit is here for a reason. He's here for a reason. The Bible says, greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world. So we've got nothing to fear the devil about because greater is he. Greater. We have nothing to fear sin because greater is he. We have nothing to fear evil because greater is he who is in us. Greater. The Holy Spirit who dwells on the inside of me. He is greater. He's able to restore me. He's able to uphold me. He's able to keep me. Even if I fall into sin, he's able to redeem me. Why he's greater? I say, why he's greater? It's greater than the devil. It's greater than Satan. He's greater than the evil one. Verse number 13, which I love. Now it says, then I will teach transgressors or sinners, transgressors, those who transgress the ways of God, then I will teach. Now notice, oh my goodness, notice the heart of God towards those who miss the mark. The heart of God, then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Teach them, not condemn them, not stone them, not bury them alive like we do, we Pharisaic Christians. We Christians that should be called Pharisees. We are Christians, but rightfully, we should be called Pharisees. Because we don't have the heart of David. David says, Lord, give me a heart of wisdom that I will teach. Why? Here's the thing. Maybe some of us have not fallen into sin that hard. This is a man who had fallen into sin so hard. As a result, he softened up towards those who miss it. Why? Because he knows the place of falling. He knows how terrible it was. Maybe some of us, we are judging, we are condemning because we've never fallen that hard. Here's a man who has fallen hard. Here's a man who has fallen hard. He says, Lord, teach me not to condemn them. Teach me not to stone them. Teach me not to bury them alive. But to teach them. Your ways. and sinners shall be converted to you. And this, friends, is a heart of wisdom that we must pray for. It's a heart of wisdom that we must gain to teach and not to condemn, not to be Pharisees, little Pharisees in the church of God. I say we must not be little Pharisees in the church of God, not little Pharisees. Pharisees with that qualification, we don't even qualify to be Pharisees. So little phony Pharisees. Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 1. New King James and Amplified. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, yea, again is a heart of God. I say, yea, again is a heart of God. Not the heart of the Pharisees, the hypocritical Christians. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore. Underline again that word, restore. Restore. God says, this is my child, but my child is living in sin. But my child has fallen into sin. So what I want you to do, I don't want you to excommunicate my child. I don't want you to reject my child. I don't want you to ostracize my child. I want you to restore. I want you to bring back. Because I have promised them, and I have promised eternally that I would never leave them, that I would never forsake them. I have promised this, and I will never recant on my word. I will never renege on my word. I will never go back on my word. Restore them, restore them, restore. Stop destroying God's people, restore them. We have a lot of Christians, when they sin, they never come back to church. When they sin, they run away from church because of the Pharisees in church. I say, this is the reason why a lot of Christians, when they sin, when they fall into sin, they run far away from the church. They don't want to see the gate of the church again. They don't want to see the door of the church again. Why? Because they know they are Pharisees who are going to skin them alive. Pharisees in the church who are going to skin them alive. Who are going to take them to task about what they've done, what you did. The whole church must know what you've done. You must feel sorry. You must show remorse. How do you show remorse? How do you show remorse? Remorse is of the heart. How do I bear my heart out to you? How do I show remorse? Because we say I must show remorse. So I must show remorse by being, by groveling up to you. By being on my knees, forgive me, forgive me, oh forgive me, without you I'm nothing, forgive me, oh forgive me, Holy One. God says, restore my people. Ningabi abahluleli. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you are spiritual, restore such a one. Listen, in a spirit of gentleness, not in pride. Gentleness, not grandstanding. God says, I don't want. So God is saying, don't do it if you are judgmental and critical. Don't do it if you think you are better than this one. God says, don't do it. Don't do it. At this point, the sinner is better than you. At this point, you are being the big brother of the prodigal son at this point. And God says, I don't want to deal with you. Don't grandstand. Because you haven't done it. Don't grandstand. That's how as Christians we become hypocrites. Because you never fornicated, you think you're holy. You are lying. You are worse than a fornicator. I'm telling the honest truth. The judge is worse than a fornicator. Because you never fornicated. You think you're holy. No, you are self-deceived. You have self-delusion. You're lying. You are worse than a fornicator because you are a judge. You're judging. God says, judge not that you be not judged yourself. Because you've not fallen into adultery, does not make you a champion. You're looking at a little speck in your friend's eye, but your log extends from South Africa to Lagos. Your own log, but you're looking at a speck. This adultery is a speck in your friend's eye. Your log, it extends from here to Wari State, all the way from Johannesburg. Hypocritical believers, they're the reason why the church is failing to restore. The reason why the church is so powerless in dealing with the issues of sin. The church thinks that by being stern, by being hard. No, it says gentleness. Come on. How should we deal with sin? It says gentleness. No, not with sin. With sinners, with sinning believers, sinning Christians. God is never said we must be hard. What did he say? We must be what? Gentle. Because sin is spiritual. It's not physical. You don't understand the struggle this brother of yours has gone through. You can't even see because you're spiritually blind. You can't even see the thing that has attacked, the monster that has attacked your brother. Your brother is powerless with the monster because you can't see in the spirit. That's why you're judging. So God says, be gentle. Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Listen, let those who have ears hear what the Spirit is saying today. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. God is saying, you are not exempt from doing the same thing. No, that's a humbling statement. God who made you says, you are not exempt in doing anything. You are judging a prostitute. God says, you can prostitute more than her. You are not exempt. God says, you can do it more than her. That's why God says, it's all okay. I don't know what that means. Have a handle on yourself. God says, have a handle of yourself. Nobody wants your super spirituality. Have a handle of yourself. Your super spirituality stinks. Your super spirituality is disgusting. Your super spirituality does not attract anyone. It repulses everyone. Have a handle on yourself. It's not super spirituality, it's love that is needed. Not super spirituality, love. In the Amplified Version, brothers, if anyone is caught in any sin, NLT says, overcome by sin. Overcome. Right? You who are spiritual, that is, you who are responsive to the guidance of the Spirit, are to restore such a person in a spirit of gentleness, not with a sense of superiority or self-righteousness. The Pharisees, the hypocrites, not with a sense of superiority or self-righteousness. Keeping a watchful eye on yourself so that you are not tempted as well. You are not exempt. 1 John 1:9. People of God, they want to come back to church, but they cannot because of the hypocrisy. They cannot. They want to see the man of God and say, man of God, I'm really overcome in this area. But they're afraid because the man of God is a judge. Man of God is a judge. And you notice after you tell the man of God will be teaching about you. He'll design the same, he'll devise a whole sermon on you. And you'll hear, nice, now he's really, really dissecting me. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, we Christians, we believers, we beloved of the Lord, if we confess our sins, not our temptations, our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That's God. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to cleanse us, I love it, to cleanse us from all wickedness. from all evil. God is able to do this. Number one, God restores. Number two, God forgives. Number three, God upholds. God keeps us from falling. That's it. He restores us. This is the message God is saying, is giving to every one of us here. We all struggle with sin. That's how it is. Bible says you have not resisted to bloodshed, fighting against sin. It uses the word thriving, that's fighting. You have not resisted to bloodshed. You have not resisted to bloodshed. Striving, every believer will strive, will fight against sin. And some will fall, and God forbid, but they do. Some will fall. They're striving. Now it says, you have not, he was encouraging them. Says, don't give up. Even if you fall, don't give up. You have not resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Don't give up. Don't throw your hands up in the air and give up. Don't throw your hands up in the air in despair. Don't do that. That was Hebrews 12, verse number 4. It says, you've not resisted to bloodshed. Fighting, striving, resisting. People are fighting. People are striving. People are resisting sin. They don't want heavy loads to be placed on them, on their backs. No, they're already having the devil to deal with. They don't want you. I say they don't want you. They don't want your judgment. They're going to keep it. It's already tough. Their battle is already tough. It's hard already fighting against the devil. They don't want to fight against you. So keep your opinion to yourself and your judgmentalism. Finally today, Luke 22, 31 and 32. So anybody say, people are having it very hard already, fighting against Satan. They don't need you. No, no, Satan is enough. You are not needed. So keep your opinion to yourself. Keep your judgment to yourself. Ungabi umshushisi ongakhokhelwa. Ungazenzi umshushisi wami ongakhokhelwa. Ufuna ukungishushisa manje. Ngikwenzeni? Ngikwazelaphi? Luke 22, verses 31 and 32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. This is the evil day that the Bible talks about. It comes to all of us. It's the evil day, the one it tells about. It says, stand therefore, stand strong, stand. In the evil day, take up your whole armor. It comes to everyone. It comes to all of us. It's not if temptation comes. It's not if the devil comes. It is when temptation comes. It is when Satan comes. And when he comes, he's angry. When he comes, he's livid. When he comes, he's seeing red. He only sees red. That's how angry he is. It comes to all of us. This really causes for sobriety in the way that we deal with one another. In the way we deal with one another. We don't know how many things and what things people are fighting against in the spiritual realm. But, so Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, Simon, when you are restored, restoration. See the heart of God? Always restoration. Simon, when you are restored to me. Now listen to this. Strengthen your brethren. Remember, they all forsook him. All of them. Except for John. They all forsook him. They all forsook him. Now he doesn't say, Simon, when you are restored, go and judge them. Go and condemn them. Go and accuse them. Go and lecture them. There is nothing a person struggling with sin hates more than being lectured. They don't want a lecture. This is a child of God. They know what they're dealing with. They don't need your lecture, your accusation, your condemnation, your judgment. Go strengthen them. Simon, when you are restored, strengthen. People, they are in need of strengthening. It's hard. They are blighted by sin. They are blighted by temptations. They are blighted left, right, and center. They need encouragement. They need encouraging. They need strengthening. They need comforting. They need to be restored. Comfort ye, my people. The prophet Isaiah says, comfort ye, my people. God's people are looking for comfort. Comfort them. Don't judge them. Comfort them. Don't condemn them. Comfort them. Don't accuse them. Comfort them. Don't lecture them. Comfort. Preach words of comfort. Preach words of strength. Preach words of encouragement. Preach the love of God. Preach the restoration of God. He didn't send his son to impute our sins against us. And send his son to impute the sins of the world against the world. No, but reconciliation. Our ministry is the ministry of reconciliation. Let's clap hands for Jesus.